What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about the average flawed dad learning to be a better parent. Today, we're talking about 10 tips for reducing tantrums in your children.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Stick around and listen as two flawed dads figure out how not to screw up our kids too bad.
Woo!
Hey, Graham, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Feeling nice. It's quiet. The kids are down for sleeping, so no better time in the world than downtime.
Finally, hey? This feels like it's been a long week with Christmas and Boxing Day and all that, and the kids being home from school, and you know, we got New Year's tomorrow, and there's been a lot of stuff going on in the house. I know, you know, with all the excitement of the holidays, there's certainly been a lot of, I want to put it, attitude amongst my kids. I don't know about at your house, but we've had a lot of fighting and some tantrums over kids not getting what they want when they want.
I wouldn't say for us, my daughter, my old, like very close. So last year was, I felt like we have a broken family as parents are separated. And so there are three separate groups. So with most of the time, not all the families get along. And so there's like three Christmases and three potential birthdays. And so it's like 10 days of birthday and Christmas type
sounds like
things
chaos.
Slack together. So it's managing all that. And I'm trying to forego getting into the Grinch talk here, but you know, it's a lot to deal with, in terms of just the idea of like seeing the amount of sheer presence that getting opened over. This was a little bit more consolidated now. She's starting to get used to it. It was a more calm Christmas, which was nice. Still way too many presents.
Yeah.
The morning I was thinking, this is ridiculous. Like
consumerism certainly crept into your household.
100%.
Yeah.
Less so far. You know, one thing we did do that I was for a lot of the bigger gifts.
Yeah.
Size wise, like volume, we wrapped all of it in pillowcases.
Okay.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was a couple benefits. One, way faster wrap.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
So you just
highly
you just,
recommend it.
Do you just hand the kids a box cutter and let them cut open the pillowcases?
That's right. Come at it. Yeah. Sorry, mom and dad.
Yeah. We're just going to replace pillowcases instead of wrapping paper. Yeah.
It was awesome. They did not do that.
Yeah.
As much as the six-year-old wanted to, because she has one on hand all the time. It was great. We wrapped it. I mean, as I said, wrapping the present takes no time at all. Stuffing a pillowcase, flip it over, and you're done.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better than that. Two, that was good. Three, no cleanup, right? And you just fold the pillowcase back.
Yeah.
And actually, the kids took longer to unwrap the pillowcases, especially if you double stuff it, whereas the paper just rips open and the present's right there.
Yeah.
So I was really happy with it. I think next year we'll have colorful stuff because most bland.
Yeah.
And not
really whites
good.
And grays and beiges. Yeah.
But at the same time, that's only really for my wife, who's thinking the color. The kids don't give two.
No,
you know,
they want what's inside. Yeah.
That's right. The second it's there, like, who's this for? I'm going to open it right now. Not a single word about this wrapping paper is so pretty and this pillowcase is so garbage. They couldn't care less.
Yeah. So through all this, you know, with everything going on with the chaos of the holidays and everything, I was looking for some tips on how to try to reduce tantrums in the house and came across a YouTube video that I sent over to you that claimed any child's tantrum in a minute.
Now, did it actually use the word reduce or was it like stop? Like, was it, I think the choice words were like, hey, this is going to save your life.
10 parenting tips to calm down any child in a minute.
Right.
That's a big promise.
That's a big promise. Any child in 1 minute.
Yeah.
It's a bold claim.
So we were
jacked.
Yeah, I was. I mean, that sounded great. Like, if I can get rid of one of these tantrums in less than a minute, perfect. You got it. Now, I think after watching the video, there was a few issues.
It's a big letdown.
Yeah. I mean,
there
was a couple. There was a couple good takeaways from it. But I think what you and I both discovered was that in reality, it was mostly preparation rather than, you know, you're in the fire. How do you get out of it at this very moment? But I thought we'd go. dispel a few of the things that you have no way to be able to do it in the moment. But when you're in terms of preparation, they're probably good skills.
Yeah.
No and question so, about. So maybe we'll go through this, deconstruct it, and talk a little bit about how we've implemented some of these in the past. Cause I know in particular, you have used a few of these in the past to,
I'm living in it
to good success. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah with, the, for sure. The video is, it's catered more towards the toddler, maybe below. There are definitely some nuggets that you could take for any age.
Yeah, and the six-year-olds are still, I mean, they still have tantrums.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, probably mine more than yours, but as the baby, like she's still tantrums every once in a yeah. while.
Well, and the older ones also know how they're
oh, yeah, they know how to push her buttons.
Trying to oh, do yeah. it actively.
Well, it's fun, right? Like, it's kind of a challenge.
That's right.
So, in terms of the list of the 10 tips that they gave, and this is for calming your child in a minute. Number 10, they said, make your child feel comfortable. And so I'm assuming they're in the video, they're talking about ensuring that they're comfortable for the situation they're walking into. So again, preparation. Number 9, letting your child choose. We'll talk a little bit more about that one because I think 8, find out what's really bothering them. I think that's something that could a little bit about that. 7, distract them. Again, that's probably a good one in the moment. 6, become a good teacher for your kid through example. So stop being angry about mistakes, that sort of thing. 5, do not provoke tantrums. So avoid situations that will cause the problem. Clearly, that's not something you can do when they are in a tantrum. 4, use positive words. So instead of don't do this, if you're jumping on the couch, you should consider, you know, going outside is a better place for jumping. 3, keep a straight face. That's certainly one that I have a challenge with. My wife tells me I have a constant what the fuck look that sits across my face. 2, give praise when they deserve it. And 1, which just was a massive misnomer to me as to why this fits into this list, but be smart about pocket money and about allowance that you give them. I'm not sure how that has anything to do with getting a child out of a tantrum. And what are you taking away a child's allowance? That seems like that would just... So that one was a well, big miss for
yeah,
me.
Is it teaching them maybe in the moment because they don't have money or something like that? It's a big stretch. And that's way off of what the... Like, a lot of this is catered towards a specific age,
yeah.
It seems. And this be smart about pocket money is out of left field almost.
Yeah.
It's for people that are way older than they are. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll go over them. I agree, you know, distracting your little one, as they call it. That one works. Certainly about trying to calm them. Finding out what's really bothering them. Again, we can speak to that as well.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think those are probably that are actively trying to calm things down. I wouldn't say it's for any child in 1 minute.
Yeah.
Especially finding out what's really bothering them. I mean, man, if you don't know what's going on there, that's like trying to get out one of those escape rooms. Like, you have no clue. Go through a whole bunch of different things. You
know, like... Can you imagine your child as an escape room? Like, that's actually a really good metaphor for every child.
That's right. Oh, I found a clue under this rock over here. Like,
is it because they had too much sugar?
You have to shine blue light on them to figure it out, of course.
So if you were looking at that list of 10, what would you say, and I mean, you're, as you said, you're living this, what would you say is the one that has been the most successful for you in getting out of tantrums? Because I certainly noticed that your kids have less of them than my kids seem to.
Well, a lot of these points I have used, there's no question about it, but as we talked about,
yeah.
It's not really getting them out of tantrums. It's trying to avoid it to begin with.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So if you were deep in a tantrum with Kendra, as an example,
yeah.
Which of these would you turn to first as your avenue of trying to get out, particularly in a public place or
the finding out what's really bothering them? If you can do that, and assuming you're able to MacGyver
it.
And actually yeah. figure out what it is and,
right.
and actually, you know, acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's people, the child is so pissed off that they can't tell you what they're so angry about,
yeah,
that they get even more pissed off. And it's like they are actively trying to tell you something or other, but yeah, you don't get it. And so they get even more pissed off.
Yeah.
It just happened yesterday, for example.
Okay.
So our little one is just over two and actually doing a pretty good job. Mostly potty trained. Doesn't use a diaper throughout the day. Only in naps and bedtime.
Definitely future topic to come up.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So a big win overall, mm-hmm, right? And so my wife was putting her, and she just started to, what's going on? I don't understand. Like, you say you have to go pee, I put you on the, absolutely losing her brains, right? And I'm hearing this from another room. It turns out that our little one doesn't like wearing pants. And my wife didn't realize that she was actually wearing underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, but she was wearing like a longer sweater. So it was right, covering the underwear.
Yeah.
And so she was sitting her on the toilet. Kendra is our little one. She was getting so pissed off because she couldn't go pee. She had underwear on.
Right.
And she's trying to tell that. And Vanessa didn't figure it. You know, the tantrum took, you know, was solved within probably 20 or so seconds, right? Because it was screaming. She took her down, screaming stop. Then she put her back on, screaming happy again. She's like, I don't understand what's going on. And then the word panty or something like that, and then it, yeah, triggered, and then, oh, we'll just take panties off. Tantrum stopped, right? She goes, yeah, pee, and we're back to normal. So, you know, that was an exact situation.
Yeah.
You figure out what the issue was, yeah, and the tantrum stopped in less than a minute.
Yeah. Right?
Thank you, video. right? In that simple case, for sure, we figured it out, and tantrum's done. So if you can do that, then great.
Yeah.
This talked about teaching them sign language and things like that. Definitely. You know, yeah, if you're able to somehow
get... Yeah, if you're dealing with a toddler, the sign language for giving them communication skills,
yeah,
is a very valuable one.
Yeah. But that can be stretched out to any age now,
yeah,
right? Like, there are so many people that are not really able to really vocalize, I guess, what is bothering them.
Yeah.
Right? They're just pissed off about something or other, but being able to talk it out.
Well, that's something we've certainly been working with our middle one on, right? The one who's been having the most challenges lately, emotions or anxiety and depression, is trying to teach her the vocabulary to express herself rather than going, is trying to teach her how to express herself. She can tell us what's wrong without using words that are fatalistic, right? And so I think that's, again, that's preparation. That's not really something,
yeah,
you know, teaching vocabulary isn't something you're doing in the moment.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just calm down so that I can teach, yeah, you the words.
Kids are super receptive,
yeah, that's right,
at that point, yeah, in time. Just <That's>... absolutely screaming at the top of your lungs. Now listen, it's not me, it's I in this, yeah, situation. Let's use proper grammar here.
Yeah, that, yeah, I know that always, yeah, calms people down.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a guarantee. That should be on the list, actually.
Now, I have found in the past, and I know you have as well, because you and I have chatted about this in the past, but distracting them in, yeah, that moment is a really powerful tool for getting out of a tantrum in that situation. Whether it's reading them their favorite book or offering them an alternative to the current scenario, you know, that's that sort of thing. Being able to draw them out of the with a movement towards something more positive for them.
Yeah, I think that has worked. I don't find it as effective.
Oh, really?
For me,
okay.
For me, I think if it's coupled with, I think acknowledging what the actual issue is, which is sort of back to what's,
sure,
bothering them. Like,
yeah,
there are, you know, that example about the underwear, right? Mm-hmm. That's a simple solution. Like, oh, let your underwear off and away you go. Like, problem solved. But most of the tantrums are, you're not giving them candy.
Right.
Or you're giving, like, it's something that you're actively not, you're avoiding them doing. So mm-hmm, you can't solve the situation. So you have to sort of acknowledge the reason. Kendra want candy. Kendra, I find, like, repeating,
yeah,
the same thing of knowing what they want, then she's, yeah, like, okay, yeah, so I understand that you understand me, like,
yeah,
I get it, and then distracting them, like, because they're not over the tantrum yet, because they still want the goddamn candy.
Right, yeah, right? Of course, yeah.
And then coupling that, saying, hey,
yeah,
why don't we go do something else? That is a... That's a two-prong effect because you're acknowledging it, saying, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. You're not getting the fucking candy.
Yeah, that's right. It's not happening.
We're moving on to something else. Yeah. We can go do Play-Doh right now.
Yeah.
That's something that you might be interested in. Like, let's go do that. And then it's like, okay, all right. Like, I'm still kind of annoyed that I didn't
get it. But you can escalate it down, yeah.
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 So it's that two-prong, and I think that's missing. It's just trying to distract them. To me, it's sort of like that long game. Genetics, nature, nurture type thing.
Sure.
But to me, the nurture side is like you're reinforcing that, like, let's talk over the problems early on. Let's figure out the problem. Yeah, sometimes we don't get what we want all the time. Let's move on to something else.
Yeah. But maybe they have up to being able to do that. anyways, so I had a situation with Navina, with my 10-year-old the other day, where she was having a complete tantrum and meltdown. And yes, it still happens. It's just me, but we were doing battle over technology and over her use of technology, play games online with her friends, that sort of thing. And I had taken it away for the day because of the way that she'd been treating her sister and her mom. And she was having a complete and utter melt. You know, she was at the point where she was in hysterics and almost like hyperventilating because of it.
Wow.
And so in order to distract her, rather than distracting her mentally, I tried to distract her physically.
Yeah.
And I asked her, do you want a hug? Right?
Right.
And just those simple words and giving her the opportunity to change her physical situation. So rather than her being on her bed having a meltdown, you know, I sat across the room and said, do you want a hug? And she said, yes. Came over, hug, totally de-escalated the tantrum. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Just offering that simple change was remarkable. And it got her to a point where we could then have a constructive conversation about the situation and actually make progress.
Yeah, so like it is somewhat of a distraction in that. Yeah.
I have found that of the things that I have tried this year with the kids, that simple question in really uncomfortable situations has made one of the biggest differences. Just asking
I mean, certainly what you're showing there, I guess, ultimately is like, listen, dad still loves you here, right? You might have like burned my car to the ground here, but like, hey, still love you.
Yeah.
I'm mad as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? That doesn't stop me from loving you here, and let's hug it out. So yeah, for sure. Yeah, at least it changes, shifts the whole situation.
Yeah. I as much as it may not be the traditional distraction of, you know,
like, I didn't think of that. It's a
like
good point.
Like you know, when you've got a dog and you've got a treat and you've got a toy, yeah, right? That's right? You know, that sort of thing. but it works as a distraction because it changes the situation.
Absolutely. No, that's a very good point. Yes, I respect it for sure. I didn't really think about it, but it's, I mean, I think that's probably a good thing actually just to introduce in any time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it makes you, it realistically, if you just do that almost every time, it probably shifts your mindset a little bit too, right? Because you can jump into something or other.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it at some point in time, is just, you know, how to manage sort of the frustration or the mad, angry moments.
I was actually just going to bring that up, right?
If you instinctively think like, okay, well, I'm just going to go hug it out, like that probably calms everyone down.
Yeah.
Like not just them, but you yourself.
But that's my issue, is it takes me a minute to get to the point where I can even ask that question. And you know, so number three on this list was keep, you know, and I think keep a straight face is not only just, you know, not laughing when they're having a tantrum, but also not getting upset when they're having
sometimes
a tantrum.
That's real hard.
Yeah, okay, it can be. When it's completely kids, ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
With kids, like now when they're trying, you know, they're losing their brain because they're, you know, not able to, I mean, especially what's hard is keeping the family straight face, because our 6-year-old, right, will find some of the things that the 2-year-old is doing hilarious, right? Yeah. And that'll just set them off. And we have trained ourselves, hardened our core to try and keep the straight face, so we're a little bit better at it.
Yeah.
But it was hard. I remember the first, you know, McKenna early on too, like so many times I had to walk away. like turned around and just like, all right, you know, I think you have this straight face a little bit more in this situation. Like, I got to bounce. Yeah. this is too much. Like, I'm going to lose this battle for sure.
But I mean I'd rather be laughing, even though that's not necessarily the reinforcement of a situation that you want, than going straight to anger, which tends to be, you know, my immediate reaction. And so, you know, the keeping the straight face is probably the area that I have the, right? Like, no matter the breathing techniques you do, and I certainly try to do that. You know, I've had doctors tell me, particularly with regards to road rage, is one of the places that I've actually managed to do it, right? Taking that deep breath. But with my kids, the idea of just stopping and taking a deep breath, I don't seem to be able to get there.
Yeah, it's hard.
Because my immediate reaction is, boom, right into it, like dive head first. And then I can take a step back when I seem to have like pumped it up to a point where it's like, you know, now everything's DEFCON 1, and
it's hard when they do so many stupid things all the time. You know, we have countless stories, both you and I, you know, you can pull up, you're like, why would you ever think of doing this? Like, how, you know, it's that,
yeah,
like what goes through your brain here? Like, is that, but what it is.
So the keeping the straight face thing, I think, is probably incredibly valuable. And it ties back into that being a good teacher.
Yes.
Right?
It doesn't necessarily stop the tantrum, but it certainly doesn't prolong the tantrum.
Exactly. It's not, it doesn't continue to escalate it.
No.
Right? And if you want to stop it, you have to not escalate it in the first place.
Oh, I thought this was level 10. Turns out I found a new level.
Yeah, let me crank this up a little bit more. That's right. Yeah.
All these things you could do the opposite of to see how big the tantrum could get, I suppose. And that's this is not a tantrum.
yeah, this one's not so bad. You know. Yeah.
I've turned that dial to max. This is not so bad.
I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, you know, if I had a tantrum in a store or anything like that, my parents' immediate reaction was to just grab me and remove me from the situation. And I noticed that that is not one of the 10 tips, right? Like, I think if I listed the amount of times that I was hauled out of a store or out of a restaurant when I was a child, it would be beyond my fingers and toes.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, what this is showing is that's probably not the right reaction. I'm not saying I haven't done that before, because I have definitely done that. But it shouldn't be a go-to. I think getting down on the child's level, offering a hug, and figuring out what it is that's causing the tantrum, then distracting or resolving, is a significantly better methodology than just kid over the shoulder, fireman carry straight out of that place, right? And
a lot of the times in those moments, in those situations, you know, that back to the point eight there, finding out what's really bothering them.
Yeah.
You know what's, I think that probably 9 times out of 10.
Most of the time.
You know what is actually bothering them, right?
I think if you're talking about a toddler, yes. But I think, you know, as I mentioned, it's not just toddlers that are having these types of tantrums. I think as you get to like that 7-12-year-old range, it's less clear what's causing the tantrum.
See, I haven't gotten to that point yet, so I can't
comment. Yeah, there's much more significant underlying issues that you do have to do some digging.
So it's been brewing over time, and it's just a hit something.
Well, I mean, you think about Aliana, right, with her being bullied at school.
Right.
And that resulting in a series of other problems.
Yeah.
You know, it resulted in her bullying her sister.
Right.
And so we had to,
we had to get to the
root of, the layers in order to find out what's actually causing this.
God damn it, Warren. So you're saying that everything is more complicated than what you're saying that I can't just go to a YouTube video and get 10 tips?
I was really hoping, believe me. I was hoping that it was going to be that.
That video had like 2.2 million views, so you figure it was going to be the savior.
Yeah.
Right? Anyone watching,
just watch that and you're immediately the best parent.
That's too bad. But that's disappointing.
Yeah. So, you know.
The other ones on this list are, they're not I think a couple we sort of talked about, like, mm-hmm. we scoffed at, you know, let's just...
What does allowance have to do with
what
it?
What the hell? The other ones do have their place.
Yeah.
But it's before the tantrum.
Yeah.
Like, yes, for sure, they will stop tantrums. But this is not eliminating the tantrum in 1 minute. So it's a little bit of a...
So out of those, if you're talking about the preparation side, which one... Because I know you've done a few of these.
Yeah.
Which one would you...
To avoid the tantrum, it's what they had is 0.5, don't provoke tantrums.
Yeah.
And that's by, like, if, you know, they're not supposed to have candy, etc. Well, you don't have candy visible to them.
Sure.
You don't make it an option.
Yeah.
Before I read, it was use the words control your environment.
Yeah.
Right. You have control of your environment. So why don't you just do these things, put something up higher, put something lower,
yeah,
right, make it accessible if they're hungry or whatever it is, so you can put situation, you can put your best deck forward,
sure,
for whatever it is. So I think that is using positive advice instead is what they, that one to me is a big one as well.
So rather than using don't, using, yeah, okay.
And I don't know whether, but for me,
I think it's powerful, but I really struggle with that, because by the time I'm in a situation, I'm reacting. Like, there's when you've got three kids, it's very difficult to be proactive. You're at that point, man defense to zone defense, and you are literally reacting, running from one fire to the next,
yeah,
the entire day. And you don't get an opportunity.
Yeah,
at least I struggle with getting an opportunity to, you know, to say, okay, rather than this, let's do this.
Right.
It's more, okay, stop punching your sister in the face.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to say, if you really want to hit something, the pillow would be better than your sister's face.
That's fair. I guess where I was coming from was more that you know the answer is going to lead to something that they don't like.
Sure.
And likely call it a tantrum, whatever it is, something uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, you know, rather than saying no, saying that... I think I'm probably just blending it more into something that I just generally like doing.
Okay.
In reality, I thinking about it more, it probably doesn't really stop tantrums or anything, but it just works so much better.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, like, oh, don't run under the road, mm-hmm. right? This has nothing to do with tantrum at this point in time. But kids, even a six-year-old and below, like, definitely below, they don't have the ability to figure out when you say, like, don't run on the road. It's like, well, what else do I do type thing? Like, they don't have that ability.
Right.
But if you tell them, please stay on the grass, that is something that they can actively do.
Sure.
And I definitely see that mind block.
Yeah.
You eliminate that entirely when you, like, or I just couple it. Don't go on the road. Please stay on the grass.
Sure. Okay.
Like,
that makes
sense.
Oh,
okay. I get it. Like, the road is dangerous. Like, please don't go the road. It's dangerous as cars. Please stay on the grass.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. You've given me the alternative and I understand what the negative is. But that has nothing to do with the tantrum. It's just, I find that
just general good,
so well.
Good parenting advice. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to say that positive advice worked very well. As you said, in the moment.
No, by the time you're in the situation, it's a little late to...
The gasoline's on the fire.
That's exactly right. The flame is burning.
Yeah.
You and I kind of laughed at this when we were first listening to it. The idea of being prepared, right?
Make your child feel comfortable.
Make your child feel comfortable. And so...
Yeah, and I don't understand what that means to me. So go ahead.
So in the video, they explain it as, you know, if you're going out to a store... And your child requests that they're away or a stuffy. It's saying allow them to be carrying something in, you know, because it may make them feel more comfortable, causing them not to have a tantrum when they're in the store. I struggle with that so much, and I have for such a long time.
Yeah.
The idea of the kids bringing a jacket or you know, wanting to carry a stuffed animal into a store. I don't see the point of it. And the reality is I should get past that and go, it's not going to affect me. Sure, I'm going to have to carry this damn thing later. But, you know, if it's going to make them, if it's going to give them a sense of security that allows me to avoid a situation where I am picking them up, throwing them over my shoulder and dragging them out of a store, that's significantly better, right? Is them carrying something that makes them feel more secure, you know, not making sure that they've eaten, that they slept properly before we go and do something, right? There's limits to what how you can control that, right? Like if they wake up six times in the night, you know that the next day is going to suck. Like that's a given. Right, you can't then go and say, okay, I'm going to go into the store, but I'll let you carry in a stuffy. Like that's not going to work. But if there's simple things that they're asking for, then you know, being able to allowing them to do that is probably a good choice.
Yeah,
I know the it's big one for you.
Yeah,
is allowing them to choose.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, on your child making feel comfortable thing, it's a lot of preparation, like even hungry.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's one of those things. Like, oh, we're going out. Are they going to get hungry? Like, I should probably think about feeding them or something. Making a child, I don't know. I have a mixed feeling on that. I don't know. it's a big preparation thing. Like, you know, I know one of our rules is always, we always go pee before we leave.
Yeah.
It's not, do you have to go pee? It's we always go pee before we leave.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard so many stories before. And to me, this seems like it's a simplest solution. If you don't, because the answer is always no, unless they like definitely have to go. The answer is no.
Do you find that that's the case for just about any question you ask your kids?
Yes.
Is it the default is no?
Yeah. And then they think, there's a snap answer, right? And then they think about the answer and actually change it. That is what I find a lot, especially, I mean, the younger years, right?
Like,
do you want to go? No. Actually, yes. Yes, I do.
I always thought that was just a symptom. So
what is it?
Naveena with her, right, is the desire to say no. And so I always thought that was just one of her things. But I guess it, no. So we have to rephrase our questions in a way that, you know, a no actually accomplishes what we want it to accomplish. So, but talk a little bit about, because I know this is something you do in giving the kids a choice. Avoid tantrums in the first place.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one, actually. Skipping through the list, I forgot about that one. Thank you for bringing that back up. For toddlers, like 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, that's an absolute game changer that needs to get done all the time. And once you get good at it, man, you make options for everything. You can come up with, you know, you think of a 2 options, one that you know that is not really very good, and the one that you want them to ultimately choose.
Right.
And they, or if they choose a horrible one, you're okay with that too. You're like, wow, damn, I was not expecting you to take that route. But hey, okay, like, I'm good with that too.
I'm down.
I'm real surprised by it. But let's roll. Like, let's do it. Right. And so you're able to guide more effortlessly about things because, you know, kids are all, and I would imagine it's probably the case in any age and thing, right? Yeah. So it's simple as like, you know, do you want to wear these socks or these socks? I'm like, okay, I want, rather than, and it's amazing how much it changes, rather than like, let's put your pants on. They're like, no, I don't want to put pants on. Okay, well, let's choose your pants. You want these ones. Okay, I want these ones. And then, and then once they do that, maybe they have a problem putting the pants on. Okay, well, which leg do you want to put on first? You want to put them this leg or this leg? And you break everything down
into a series of choices.
Like, okay, now you have the one leg on. Do you want to point your toe or do you want to keep it flat? Like, there are so many, you can keep going with choices.
I don't know about you, but the non-pointing toe thing drives me crazy.
Oh, it does. Pants. Oh. Absolutely. But you can get around it. I'm just trying to go down the line. Yeah. I don't think I've ever gotten to that point of saying like point the toe or not point the toe. It is definitely, as you said, it's a point. It's a real frustration.
The amount of fights that I had with my kids about just point your goddamn toes is unbelievable. Like such a simple thing. How could you not just point your toes?
I remember trying to put stockings on oldest daughter now back in the day and struggling to no end, and my wife saying like, just bunch up the stockings first, right, and then put it over the toe and then you pull it that way. I was like, what?
Yeah. Like,
of course.
Blows like, your mind.
Exactly. There was always a better way of doing something or other, right? But the same thing with the pants. That I've taken that. I'm like, well, I'm doing this for everything.
Everything. Yeah.
I bunch up pants. I stuff that over the toe and up they go. Like it's not a big deal anymore because of that frustrating lesson of I've been doing these stocking things forever. And now you tell me this? A game changer.
Well, I think we've gone off on a little bit of a tangent. So we went through the 10 tips that they offered that are supposed to calm any child in under a minute. And we've discovered that there's only a few on there that are actually any good for in the moment, for getting out of the fire. And I would suggest finding out what the real issue is, distraction, that sort of thing is going to be your most, but
choice.
Yeah. Choice, preparation, right?
It's all preparation.
That sort of thing is probably the best thing you can do to get out of tantrums. That doesn't help you when you're in the moment,
no.
But maybe it'll help you to avoid some of those issues in the first place.
The one last thing that I have to comment on, and I joked about it before to you, and if I'd be doing this video, then I'd throw this in. Of course,
yeah.
This is heavy sarcasm right now. This is a heavy sarcasm warning. Big flashing signs coming up. You know, one way to completely eliminate a tantrum in that 1 minute is you just give in and do exactly what it is they want. 100%. That is a guaranteed solution to stop the tantrum.
Yeah. Right? That doesn't create an entitled generation or anything.
None whatsoever. Yeah. There's no long-term effects.
To reinforcing that type of behavior. No, not at all.
Whining, very much encouraged. Tantrums, very much encouraged. All these are positive things we want to try and focus on.
So that's probably a bad idea.
But it does work.
It does. It is effective.
It does work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Not recommended, but effective.
I'm just thinking the video. It is 100% effective to work on any child.
Any child.
In under a minute. 1 minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So we talked about those 10 things. I think this type of a video is good. It gives some good baseline for some of the tips that we should be talking about.
Listen to us instead. We know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we actually have practical experience.
We've turned it into 37 or plus minutes of talking for an 8-minute video.
So. That's right. But it probably a lot more funny than the video actually was. Yeah, we're going to try and get one of these out to you guys every week. Hope you're enjoying it. Thanks so much for listening. Please, if you've got any areas you'd like to hear us talk about, you have any questions for us, anything like that, we're going to be posting our social media links for the Flawed Dad podcast for Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter in the description for this podcast. Connect with us. Let us know if there's anything you want to hear about. We look forward to seeing you guys next week.
See you there, guys.
Happy New Year,
everyone.